Good afternoon, everybody. So we're continuing in our series of Kashrus-related shiurim, and this is, I think, the last one that I'm going to be giving because we have Kashrus experts coming to speak to us on Wednesday and Thursday, Be'ezras Hashem. But today we're going to talk about one of the topics that was requested, is that we talk about Trumos and Maestros. So I want to talk about Trumos and Maestros just in general, like the basic halachos of Trumos and Maestros, and practically, like how it plays out. You go to Costco and you buy a thing of oranges, and then you see product of Israel. So what does that mean for you? What do you have to return it? Should you return it? What are you supposed to do with that? So let's discuss just a lot of the background first, and then we'll get into the practical elements of Trumos and Maestros. So the mitzvah we colloquially call Trumos Uma Asros, not Truma and Maeser, because there are two Trumos and two Maestros, and those mitzvahs apply Bizman Hazeh, but they're only Midrabanan Bizman Hazeh when we don't have Rov Yoshveh Aleha. When we have Rov of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, and Yovel is Noeg, so then, and Shemitah is Noeg on Daraisa, levels, Trumos and Maestros would also be Daraisa, but we don't have Rov Yoshvel nowadays. Trumos and Maestros Bizman Hazeh is only Drabanan. The Gemara mentions that in today's Daf Yomi, actually in Pesachim Daf Memdalim, and just like takes that as a matter of fact, that of course Trumos Bizman Hazeh is only Drabanan. It's actually Machlokas Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim assume that that's not true, that Trumos Bizman Hazeh would still be Mida Oraisa, but the Pashtus of the Gemara certainly sounds that way. There's a Rashba like that that understands that Trumos Bizman Hazeh might be Daoraisa, but Pashtus is that Truma Bizman Hazeh is purely Midrabanan. So the breakdown is as follows. There's Truma Gedola and there's Trumas Meiser. Those have to be eaten by Kohanim and Bitahara. The Truma has to be Tahora, the Kohanim have to be Tahorim, and then there's Meiser Rishon, which goes to the Levium, and that could be eaten anywhere by the Levium, and then there's Meiser Sheni, which is taken in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle, and could be eaten only in Yerushalayim and only B'tahara. And then there's Maaser Ani, which is in place of Maaser Sheni in years 3 and 6, has no Kedusha, could be eaten anywhere, it's just has its Mamon Aniyim, you have to give it to the Aniyim. So nowadays we can no longer do the mitzvah properly for several reasons, meaning a lot of these details we cannot fulfill. Truma cannot be eaten Bizman Hazeh because Truma needs to be eaten B'tahara, and Kohanim can no longer eat Truma because they're all Tumei Meis. So we have no Parah Aduma to get them out of the status of Tumas Meis. So it's an impossibility for a Kohen to be able to eat Truma. We also don't have Kohanim Yuchasim. So even had the Kohanim been able to become Tahor, even if we had a Parah Aduma, every couple of years they discover a Parah that they think might be a Parah Aduma. A couple of years ago in Lakewood, there was someone offering to pay like $1 million for what looked like a Parah Aduma. Then it turned out that it was pregnant. So it was puzzle as a Parah Aduma, because it could not have been mounted by a male, and obviously it was. It was not an immaculate conception or anything. So nowadays we don't have a Parah Aduma, but even if we did, we don't have Kohanim Yuchasim. So to eat Truma Da'oraisa, you would need Kohanim Yuchasim. For Truma D'Rabbanan, like Truma and Demai, you would not need Kohanim Yuchasim. Now, Maaser Sheni has to be eaten Betara in Yerushalayim near the Mizbeach, and we can't get Tahar, and we don't have a Mizbeach. So we don't have the ability to eat Maaser Sheni Bizman Hazeh either. Maaser Rishon is meant to be given to the Levium, but the problem with that is that you don't need to eat a Betara, and it doesn't need to be eaten in Yerushalayim, but since the Churban and the diminished role of Levium don't really do anything anymore, meaning there's nothing to do in the Beis HaMikdash because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so we stopped checking the Yichus of Levium, so we don't have anybody who we can be confident is really a Levi, as far as at least to say Amotzi Mechaver Olav Araya, for him to be able to demand that we give him our Maaser Rishon. The only one that we can still really do is Maaser Ani, because there are no limitations in terms of Kedusha. You know, it's not you don't need any Yichus to be an Ani. A person just needs to be poor to be eligible for Maaser Ani. We still do have an Iser Tevel Bizman Hazeh. Now, some of the ideas behind Trumos and Maestros are as follows. First of all, it's a wonderful system of support for those who dedicate themselves to the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. The Kohanim and the Levim are the people who are the learners and the chinuch people. The Psukim and Chumash say this explicitly. This isn't just Stam, you know, time of the Krah. The Psukim, Devarim Lamed Gimel, Yoru Mishpatecha Liyakov Vitarascha Liyisrael, Ki Yipalim Chadavar L'mishpat, Bein Dam L'dam, Bein Din L'din, Bein Nega L'nega, Divrei Rivos B'sharecha, V'kamta V'alisa L'makam Asher Yivshar Hashem L'kachu V'asa El... Hakohanim, Halevim, Vela Shofet Hashir B'Yamim Drash V'Gidul Chayis Tvar Mishpat. That's the role of Kohanim and Levim. So we need to support them in order for them to be able to fulfill that role. The Torah does not give them land, so each Shevet has to designate some space for them to live. That's also Psukim in Chumash. Vaydaber Shal Moshe is by Midbar Perek Lamed Hey. Tzavis Bnei Yisrael V'Nasum LaLevim Minachlas Achuzasam Arim LaShevis U'Migrash LaArim Tzivaseim. And goes on, 48 cities of Levim, depending on how much land you have, you got to give up some portion of that for the Levim to live, not for Levim to work as farmers and to work in agriculture. No, Levim just live in those lands because they got to live somewhere. Now, since the purpose is to support the ruchnius of the Kohanim and the Levim, you're supposed to give it to Kohanim and Levim Talmidei Chachamim, ideally, because that's the whole purpose. The Rush and the Rash hold that it is Aser to give to a Kohen Am Haaretz. Rambam says Mutter is just not the preferred thing, so certainly all Rishonim say it's preferred to give to a Kohen Talmud Chacham. Most Rishonim say it's definitely best to give to a Talmud Chacham. You only give to an Am Haaretz if no Talmidei Chacham are readily available. And even if you can't give to a Talmud Chacham, the Rambam in the sixth paragraph of Vilchus Trumos, Halacha Beis, based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadiyam and Beis, say that you at least have to give it to somebody who's makpid on Tahara. But that's for a different reason, because otherwise it's Lifnei Iver. You're going to give Truma to someone who's Tamei all the time and who's not going to treat the Truma b'Tahara, so he's going to eat it b'Tumah, and that's going to be a violation of Lifnei Iver. When Kohanim Amei Aretz would come to their Mishmar, they would be permitted to do the Avoda and eat the Besar Karbanos, because that week of their Mishmar, they were careful about Dine Tahara for that week. But that doesn't entitle you to just give Tamei Aretz throughout the year when they're not going to be careful about Tumen Tahara. And then the Rambam in Shmita V'Yovel, Perek Yud Gimel, Alach Yud Gimel, you got to mention it, you know, says, Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad, you know, in terms of those who dedicate themselves to Torah, it's Lo Shevet Levi Bilvad, but the Matanos actually go, it is Shevet Levi Bilvad that actually get these Matanos, they get these Trumos and Maestros. But the people, you know, always quote that Rambam, anyone can dedicate themselves to Torah and become great Talmidei Chachamim, and that's absolutely true, but we forget the context. The context is, but really, the Kohanim and Levim are the ones that are dedicated for this service of becoming the Talmidei Chachamim and the Torah leaders, and it's therefore the responsibility of the rest of us to support them. So that is the primary idea of Trumas and Maestros. It also reveals a certain kedushas haaretz, that the produce which grows in the land, it's latent with potential holiness, right? So just the very notion is a reflection of just how much kedusha there is in Eretz Yisrael. And specifically when it comes to Maaser Sheni, it also ensures a certain connection to Yerushalayim, that every Jew is going to have to take 9% of his produce and eat it specifically b'tahara in Yerushalayim. So that means that you're schlepping a lot of food to Yerushalayim and spending a lot of time there eating all of that food in Yerushalayim. It also serves to probably have a very positive impact on the economy in Yerushalayim, because if 9% of in an agricultural society, if 9% of everything that's grown has to be brought to Yerushalayim, or its value plus a fifth is brought to Yerushalayim, that's a lot of money coming into the Jerusalem economy every single year. So that sort of ensures that Yerushalayim is in good shape when everything is running properly. And it also includes, obviously, a system of taking care of the poor. The idea of Maaser Ani, especially when viewed in conjunction with Leket Shecho Peya, certainly helps us take care of those who are poor. Now let's get to some of the details of the performance of the mitzvah of Hafrashas Trumas and Maestros. There is a mitzvah to do the hafrashos in order. Truma gedola is first. Truma gedola has no shir min haTorah, right? The Mishnah Maseches Truma tells us that even though midrabanan they instituted that an ayin beinon is an average person or an average amount to give would be 2% echad michamishim, and someone a little more generous would give echad me'arban, would give 2.5%. Someone a little less generous would give echad mishishim, which is a ratio that we're very comfortable with this year, learning Yaradeya, echad mishishim. But in terms of truma, it's not such a great ratio. It's an ayin ra'a. It reflects a certain amount of stinginess for one to do it. When one is being mafrish, it's usher for the kohen to be misayeya bebeis hagranos. Most of what I'm saying, you know, is just straight mishnayos. I'm not saying anything, any great chidushim over here. It's usher l'sayeya bebeis hagranos in order to get the matanos. It would be a chil Hashem, and the Navi Malachi tells us in Malachi Perek Beis, v'atem sartem min aderech, hichshaltem rabim b'torah shichatem bris halevi amar Hashem tzvakos, v'gam ani nasati eschem nivzim u'shvolim l'chol ha'am, k'fi asher einchem shomer mestrachai v'nosim panam b'torah. That shouldn't show a sense of favoritism to those who are helping out. They also can't pay for the right to get the matnos kuhuna, but Yisrael can pay somebody a bit to give his matanos to a particular kohen and Levi. The Gemara in Becharos says this explicitly, Daf Chavav Chavzayin Mesachs Becharos, that if, let's say, I'm a Yisrael and my grandchildren are Kohanim, and I would love it if you would give my grandchildren your Truma all the time, so I can give you a little bit of money to encourage you to do that. It's also usher for the Kohen to ask for the Truma in a non-mechubed way, to be schnorring for the Truma, because the Pasuk tells us in Bamidbar Yudches, V'ani hine nasati l'chas mishmeres trumosai l'chol kodshe b'nei Yisrael l'cha nasatim L'mashcha, and we darsh that l'mashcha means l'gedula, that the truma in general has to be with a sense of dignity. It should be a regal kind of thing, that in order that people should be able to learn Torah bekavod, right? That's what the Navi Malachi tells us. Kivsif sechoin yishmru das v'torah yavakshu mipiu ki malach Hashem tzvakos hu, that dafka the Rebbe should be a malach Hashem tzvakos. These Kohanim are supposed to be, and the Levim are supposed to be the Rebbeim of Klal Yisrael. Well, so they're supposed to be domel l'malach Hashem tzvakos. They shouldn't be nivzim u'shvelim. They shouldn't be like people that you view as schnorrers, as begging for something. So it has to all be done b'derech kavod, in a and that's what we call sifsei kohen yishmeru das, that it has to be that the kohanim are the ones that maintain that sense of dignity. The kohen is not allowed to grab the truma without permission, because the Yisrael has the right to give it to whoever he wants, whichever Kohen he wants. If the Kohen is Tofes, then there's a machlokas between the Rambam in the 12th parak of Trumos and Tosos in Chulin Kof Lamed Aleph, whether you can demand it back. Machlokas revolves around whether we assume Tovas Hana'a Mamon or Tovas Hana'a Zena Mamon, meaning if my right to choose which Kohen to give it to, is that considered Mamon, or is that not considered to be something that is Mamon, that is of monetary value? So if it is mammon, when by him robbing me of that right, he's taking away something that has monetary value from me. But if it's lav mammon, if tovas hanah is not mammon, then he's not taking away anything that has any monetary value. And therefore, even though I should have had the right to give it to whoever I wanted, I would not be able to demand it back midine mammonis. Now, as we mentioned before, on a doraisa level, chita achas poteres kalakri, there still is a requirement of necessity that you give a kedei nesina, that when one gives to the Kohen, he gives a chashva amount. There's a comment in the Nadi Bihuda, I forget where, but the Nadi Bihuda writes in the Tshuva that he always was bothered by the stira, that on the one hand we say chita achas poteres es kol akri, that a single stalk of wheat is going to potter everything, and then he said, but then at the same time we say that when you give to the Kohen, you need a kedei nesina. So Nadi Bihuda said, then I chapped, I realize I have a great chiddush, no one ever said it, I can't believe lo kidam niyada me'olam, the Rishonim don't say it, and that is that there are two mitzvahs over here. It's tzvei dinim. There's a mitzvah of hafrasha, and there's a mitzvah of nesina, that when you're mafrish the truma, chita achas, to take away the iser tevel, chita achas poteres es kol akri. When you actually give to the kohen, so then you need to give a kedei nesina. It has to be l'mashcha l'gedula. It has to be in a way that's bekavadik, that's respectful. So what, you're going to give him a chita achas? That's not nice. So you have to give a kedei Kedei Nesina, you have to give a reasonable amount when you're going to give to a Kohen. It's got to be a reasonable amount that you're giving. So that's what the Nedibida writes. It turns out there's a Taisus Rid that says that explicitly, that when it comes to taking away the status of Tevel, yeah, Chita Achas, Poteris, is Kalakri. When it comes to actually fulfilling the mitzvah of Nesina, so then you have to give a reasonable amount. The Gemara in Chulin on Kufla Medalev says that the Kohen is allowed to sell his truma to another Kohen who will eat it b'tahara and do it, and then the Kohen can do whatever he wants with the money, meaning the truma has kedusha. So you have to make sure the truma retains its kedusha, its dignity, it's treated properly, so it can only end up with a Kohen, and it's got to be eaten b'tahara. But you're allowed to charge for it. If you're a Kohen who has it, you could charge for it and sell it to another Kohen. However, the mission of the 7th Perek HaShviya says that there is an Isser Schora with Truma. So you shouldn't have like one Kohen who gets too much Truma for him to possibly be able to eat. Well, he'll have like no choice but to start a business selling the stuff. You don't want that to happen. If it's like Nizdamein Lo that he has a little extra, so he can sell it to another Kohen. But in general, he should not be running a business with Truma. Typically, they would first give to the Kohanim who are most dedicated to learning and teaching Torah, which makes a lot of sense because that's the whole purpose. And when those Kohanim were already taken care of, they'll then give it to others. But you don't want to overload a particular Kohen with too much Truma, with more than he can handle. The Truma can be eaten by the entire household of the Kohen, not only the Kohen himself, his wife, his children, even his Eved Kanani, not his Eved Ivri, but even his Eved Kanani. A Bas Kohen Lazar, if a Bas Kohen marries a non-Kohen, so then she loses the right to eat Truma. But if she becomes an Almana or a Grusha, if she doesn't have any children from her marriage, she can go back Lebeis Aviyah to eat the Truma. If a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, she can eat Truma now because she's an Eishes Kohen. And if the marriage ends, if the Simon, we already covered that. I don't know, maybe you got on a minute late. Is that so? If the marriage ends, she can only continue to eat if she has a descendant, even a grandchild from the Kohen. A Kohen Arel, afilu mesuach machnas mila. Even if he's an Arel with a good reason to be an Arel, because his brothers died of mila, such a Kohen cannot eat truma, but his family can. The Rambam writes in 10th Perek of Hilchos Trumos, meaning as far as the dinim mamonis of being mamon hashevet, yeah, he's allowed, he's entitled to get that truma. He just can't eat it because he has a psul in terms of the kedusha of truma. So because he's an arel, he's unable to eat it. Before eating the truma, we have to realize this is a mitzvah, and because it's a mitzvah, there is a birchas mitzvah. The Rambam in the 15th parak of Hilchos Trumas tells us the bracha is Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedushanu B'Kedushaso Shel Aaron V'Tzivanu Le'echol Truma. That's why it's pointed out that I think Chassam Sofer points out that nowadays we have like very few mitzvahs of achila. It used to be that there was a mitzvah for going to eat truma. It's a mitzvah to eat kodshim. We have, when you have a base hamikdash, there are mitzvahs of achila. Nowadays, the only real mitzvah da'oraisa of achila is matzah. It's the only one left. Even maror is only drabban b'zman hazek. It's al matzos maror yachluhu. Maror's role as a mitzvah is only in the context of being a condiment to the Karban Pesach. But if you don't have a Karban Pesach, then you don't have a mitzvah da'oraisa of achilas maror, right? That's the famous comment of the Rush about it. Since it's only a condiment, you would think that you wouldn't even need a kazayis of maror. But anyway, so that's the mitzvah of truma. Now, Maaser Rishon is exactly 10% of what's left once you take the truma. So the pasuk says that Lebnei Levi hinei nesati kol maaser b'Yisrael nachlo chelif avodasim asher hem ovdim es avodas ol moed. So in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, so even though Maaser Rishon goes to a Levi, and it's pretty explicit, Lebnei Levi hinei nesati kol maaser, in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, what happened was Ezra Sofer requested that everybody come back to Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted the Levim to come back in great numbers as well, and very, very few Levim came back to Eretz Yisrael. There were less than one-tenth the number of Kohanim were the number of Levim that came back. So Ezra was very disappointed that Levim didn't come back, so he imposed the knas that the Maaser Rishon can also be given to Kohanim. And it makes a lot of sense also, because the entire purpose of Maaser Rishon is Chelef Avodasam. It's because of the Avoda that they were doing but there were very few actually doing the avodah. So think about it. Less than 1% of the population was Levian, but they're going to get 9% of the produce that's grown in Eretz Yisrael. They become very, very rich. The Ma'aser Rishon is meant to support them. It's not meant to enrich them. Shulchan Aruch paskins that, like the Rambam, that knas ended after Bayis Sheni. And now Ma'aser Rishon still all goes back to the Levim. There's Machlokas Tanoim, what the din is on a Daraisa level, whether the Ma'aser can go to Kohanim on a Daraisa level, and Ezra Sofer just instituted that we should take advantage of that din midaraisa and now give, you know, channel it mostly or all to Kohanim, or that we paskin that, that like Rabbi Kiva, that the Minat Torah, we do paskin like the Minat Torah, the mitzvah is only to give it to Levim, but Ezra was able to make that takana because it's a dini mamonis issue. There's no kedusha to Ma'aser Rishon anyway. The whole issue is just whose mamon it is. So Ezra was able to make such a takana that we should give it to Kohanim in addition to giving it to Levim, right? That's that machlokas of whether on a daraisa level you're allowed to give it to Kohanim is a machlokas about what the takanas Ezra was, also what the kanas that Ezra imposed was. Was it to give it only to Kohanim, or is it to also give it to Kohanim? There is a machlokas between Tosas and Yevamos and Daf Peivav and the Rambam in the first paragraph of Hilchos Ma'aser, whether it's preferred to give to Kohanim, or it was just that it was permissible to give to Kohanim. Now, that's as far as Ma'aser Rishon. Then now the Levi has his Ma'aser Rishon, he's got to take Trumas Ma'aser, which is 1/10 of the Ma'aser Rishon that goes to the Kohanim. Vel Levim to daber v'yamarta alehem. Pasuk says ki tikhu me'es b'nei Yisrael asama'aser asher nasati l'cham me'etam b'nachalaschem. When you get your Ma'aser, v'arimosem imenu trumas Hashem ma'aser min ha'ma'aser, that you're supposed to take a Ma'aser from that Ma'aser. That's a trumas Hashem la'arun ha'kohen. Then comes Ma'aser Sheni and or Ma'aser Ani, depending on the year. So there is a fundamental machlokas tanoim, which we had not that long ago in Daf Yomi also, whether Ma'aser Sheni is Mamun Gavoa or Mamun Hedyot. Machlokas Rameh and the Chachamim, you know, we know what the rule is by Ma'aser Sheni. You have to eat it only in Yerushalayim, but you're allowed to eat it. You don't have to give it to anybody. You don't have to give it to a Kohen or a Levi. You're allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim betahara. So why is it so restricted if you're allowed to eat it? So there are two fundamental views. One view is that it's Mamun Hedyot. It's yours, so you're allowed to eat it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed certain restrictions on the how and where of eating it. But really, fundamentally, it's yours. The other view of Reb Meir is that Mamun Gavoa, that Ma'aser Sheni, is fundamentally the Ribono Shel Olam's. It doesn't belong to you. It's just that Hashem is kind enough to share it with us when we're Tahar and in Yerushalayim. So that's the idea of Ma'aser Sheni. And big nafka mina is whether Ma'aser Sheni is Mamun Gavoa or Mamun Hedyot. That's why you learn about it in Yeshiva Shemesechtas, because of all of the nafka minas, right? So you have, whether you could be Mekadesh Nisha with Ma'aser Sheni. Is it yours? If it's yours, so then you should be able to be Mekadesh Nisha with it. If it's not yours, it's Mamun Gavoa. You can't be Mekadesh Nisha with it. We had recently in the Daf Yomi, what was it, Daf Lamed Ches, right? I think we had with Nafka Mina, whether you could be Yotze Dalad Minim. Dalad Minim needs to be Lachem. The Esrog needs to be Lachem. Can you be Yotze with an Esrog of Ma'aser Sheni? Can you be Yotze with Matzah of Ma'aser Sheni? Matzah also needs to be Lachem, even though it doesn't say Lachem in the Pasuk by Matzah, but it says Chala in the Pasuk by Matzah, and it says Chala in the Pasuk by Afrashas Chala, or Lechem in the Pasuk by Afrashas Chala and by the Pasuk of Matzah. So we darshin that just like, but for the mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah, it needs to be Lechem. It says Ariso Seichem Trei Zimni. It says Ariso Seichem twice in the pasuk about Hafrashas Challah. So the Challah needs to be Lechem in order to be Chayiv in Challah. So too Matzah needs to be Lechem. And that's the comment of the Sfasemis. Sfasemis was bothered why it is that when you have guests at your table for the Seder, that you're not makne to each individual their Matzah, so that it could be Lechem, so that they could be Yotze, that Inyan of, they could be Yotze the mitzvah with Matzah of that's Lachem. But anyway, that's another nafkamina, whether Ma'aser Sheni is Mam Gavar Mam and Hedyot, or whether there's a Chiv of Afrashas Challah. So it's a fundamental machlokes tanaim that you have all over Shas. The ideal is to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there, right? That's what the pasuk says. Tvarim yadalit aser ta aser es kol tvas arecha yotze asada shana shana v'yachalta lefnei Hashem l'kach v'mokam asher yivchar l'shaken shmo sham ma'aser degan chatirosh v'yitzarecha. And there's a reason why we want you going to Yerushalayim with all this food. The Torah tells us, l'man tilmad v'yiras Hashem l'kecha kol hayamim, that a person will have an experience of going to be Beolah L'regel, and, you know, know, they'll be very encouraged to do so. If 9% of their food can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, so they'll go beyond the regal, they'll spend a lot of time there, they'll get to see Kohanim Bavodasam, Levim Biduchanam, and that will have a tremendous impact on a person's spirituality. That's why the Gemara tells us in Masechet Bava Basra, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, that originally when Rabbi Shimon Gamla established the idea, or before Rabbi Shimon Gamla, when they established the idea of having Melamdei Tinokos and not just having each father teach his child Torah, initially they established that it would be only in Yerushalayim, because Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. And Tosos points out that the reason they did that, the reason they came up with that idea of only in Yerushalayim, was because there's such an environment of Kedusha in Yerushalayim. So that's a great place to teach a child Torah, in an environment of extraordinary Kedusha. But if you couldn't schlep all of the produce to Yerushalayim, so then you're poda bekesef. You're poda on money, and you use that money, you bring the money instead to Yerushalayim, and you buy food with that money, and you eat that food in Yerushalayim. And that's also psukim in the Torah. V'chiyir b'mimcha aderech, ki lo suchal se'e, so you can't carry it. Ki yirchak b'mimcha makam asher yirchak Hashem elokach lasum shmo sham, ki yivrech Hashem elokach, Hashem gave you so much abundance, it's too much to schlep. V'nasata bekesef etzarta kesef yadach v'alach. So then, instead, you do it on kesef and asata kesef b'chol asher tav nafshecha b'bakar b'tzon b'yayin b'sheicher b'chol asher tisholcha nafshecha v'yachalta shom l'vnei Hashem l'kecha v'samachta atu v'esecha. You use that money on food in Yerushalayim. When you're being poda, though, you have to add 25%. You have to add a chomesh. The chomesh means a chomesh milavar. Now, if you're being poda somebody else's meiser sheni, and this is going to be critical halacha lemaisa, if you're being poda somebody else's meiser sheni, you don't have to add a chomesh. The Mishnah in the fourth paragraph of meiser sheni tells us that if somebody can't afford the chomesh, so there's a harama that he could do. He could give the money to a friend who will be poda for him, and then return the fruits. You know, have the friend return it to the fruits. To him. That's Arama, but it's mutter, because the pasuk says kivrecha Hashem elokecha. Meiser is meant to be a source of bracha for a person, and not a great challenge. The meiser sheni has to be eaten betara, as we mentioned. Normally, once it's in Yerushalayim, you can't be poded anymore. It's too late to be poded on money. It's already in Yerushalayim, and you're not allowed to bring it out of Yerushalayim either. There is a question: if the meiser sheni becomes tamei, are you then allowed to be poded and bring it outside of Yerushalayim? That's a machlokas. Even Rabbi Yosi Aglili, machlokas tanayim, whether you're allowed to bring it out and be poda it. That's what the Gemara suggests, that maybe that's the discussion as to whether you could be yotzei with matzah of Meiser Sheni. Is it something that could be eaten b'chol moshvel seichem? Or do you say, no, once it's in your Yerushalayim, it can't come out. It's stuck, and it's always going to be there, and you're never going to be able to eat it. Or do you say, no, if it becomes tameh, I will be able to be poded and bring it out. Now, Meiser Ani is only in the third and sixth year, as we mentioned. The Aniim, though, aren't going to be left helpless in the other years. They have Leket Shech Chapeya. We still have a mitzvah of Tzedakah throughout the rest of the years. But, when they get Meiser Ani in the third and sixth year, so it's an extra boost. They get to feel what it's like to have, like, a good year as opposed to just evening it out over all the years equally. Now, the mitzvah, there's a mitzvah of Bior Maestros. Now that we've discussed what you're supposed to do, twice in the Shemitah cycle, we have to make sure that we've given everything that we were supposed to give over the past 3 years. The Truma and the Challah to the Kohen, and the Maestro Rishon to the Levi, the Maestro Ani to the Ani, the Maestro Sheni and Netta Revai, produce of the fourth year, has a din of Meiser Sheni to bring to Yerushalayim and eat b'tahara. Whatever Meiser Sheni and Netta Revai you didn't successfully bring to Yerushalayim, you have to destroy from your house. And that's the the Zmana Biur of when you do that is Erev Pesach of the fourth and the seventh year. I believe Erev Pesach of 2022 is the next Zman HaBiur of Meiser Sheni. So there is a Machlokas Rishonim, whether it's Erev Yom Tov Rishon or Erev Yom Tov Acharon Shel Pesach. We pass in Erev Yom Tov Acharon Shel Pesach is the Zman HaBiur. The Vidui Maestros is said, though, at the Mincha on the last day of Pesach, because they would leave over some Maestros Sheni to eat on that last day of Yantiv. So the Vidui they would say at the end. The text of the Vidui appears in the Torah itself, of course. B'yarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis V'gam Nasativ L'Levi L'Ger Ver, Le Yasum, Le Almana, right? There's a lot of the, you know, the Bali Musra talk about why it's called a Vidur. You seem to be saying that you did everything right. Kechol mitzvascha, sharti visani, lo avarti mitzvascha, lo shachachti, lo achalti boni mimen, lo biarti mimen betame, lo nisati mimen lemeis, shamati b'kol Hashem Elokai, osisi, kechol sharti visani. And then we end with a tvila. Shkifa mamon kachcha min amishraim, verich asam chayis yisol, ves adam asher nisata lanu kashen, nishmat lo vseinu, eretz avas chalavu dvash. That we tell Hashem, look, we did everything right, so we deserve a little bracha. So that statement not only says that you did the mitzvah, but that you did it flawlessly, right? Biyarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, V'gam Tzad Lele Gerli Yasam L'Almanu, Chom Mitzvah Asher Tivisani, means you gave the matanos in order, you were not mishane from the seder of the hafrasha. Lo Avarti Mi Mitzvah Secha means you weren't mafresh mi minal she'eno mino, you weren't mafresh min ha'talush al mechubar, min ha'chubar al ha'talush, min ha'chadosh al yasha, not min ha'yashan al ha'chadosh. Lo Shechachti means that you didn't forget to say a birchas ha'mitzvah before doing the mitzvah. Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu means that you didn't eat ma'aser sheni while you were in onein. And lo biyarti mimenu betame means that you were not metame it. Lo nasati mimenu lemeis means you didn't use the kesef pidyon ma'aser sheni for other mitzvos, even for kvuras ha'meis. Right? It's lav dafka only a meis. So you didn't use it for the kesef pidyon for other things other than buying food in Yerushalayim and fulfilling that mitzvah of eating food in Yerushalayim. Shamati b'kol Hashem Elokai means that you brought the ma'aser sheni to the Beis Hamikdash. Asisi kichol asher tzivisani, that you were misameach with it, you were misameach other people with it, you enjoyed simcha, v'samachta b'chol atov, v'shenasun l'cha shem akach, v'eschah atav alev, v'agar, asher b'sharecha, asher b'kirbecha, rather, you were misameach people properly with the ma'aser sheni. The Rambam spells all of this out. It's a collection of, you know, Gemara, but Rambam in the Perek Yud Aleph spells all of this out. Now, the vidui should be done in the Beis HaMikdash, but the Rambam writes, if you couldn't be all the so you say the vidui wherever you are and whatever language you understand it. Nowadays, we don't do vidui maestros because we can't eat maestro sheni betahara b'Yerushalayim the way the Torah says to do. Some have the practice of making a zecher l'mitzvah, though, by reading the entire parsha from the Torah, including those psukim of the vidui maestros as part of that parsha. So all of this is the background. Now let's get to what we actually do. Right? You go to Costco and there's a product of Israel in Costco. So there is a major misconception that is out there. Many people believe that everything that's exported from Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut takes maestros from anyway, takes shumas maestros from anyway. And the only reason to be machmir, to take your own shumas maestros, is if you think that you don't rely on the Rabbanut. I'm not going to rely on the Rabbanut Ashkacha, so that's why I'm going to take shumas maestros. It's just not true. The chief rabbinate of Israel does not separate shumas maestros. Rabbi Luban Shalita from the OU contacted the chief rabbinate and they wrote him a letter, and you can find it online, where they clarify that they do not, unless you see a stamp on it that actually says that they did, they do not, by as a matter of course, take shumas and maestros from all exported produce. Now, if it's a packaged item that has a reliable supervision, so you don't have to be concerned that it's tevel. But if it doesn't have a reliable supervision, then yes, you do have to be concerned that it's tevel, and therefore you should take trumas and maestros. So some people have the attitude, maliu l'tzarezos. What do I need to deal with trumas and maestros? I don't know anything about it. I'm not an Israeli. I've never dealt with trumas and maestros before. So I'd rather just not buy the Israeli produce. That would be unfortunate for people to make such a decision not to buy Israeli produce. It's good to support the economy in Israel, and it's good to have holy fruits, right? It's good to have food that comes from Eretz Yisrael. Better than to say, I'm not going to do it, because what do I need this for, is to buy it and actually know what to do. So you can be mavrish. It's not rocket science, right? It's not something that's so difficult to do. So Rabbi Luban wrote a very helpful, eight-step instruction sheet. All the kashrus organizations have some sort of instruction sheet about how to be mafresh properly. So the first thing you have to do is you take all of the produce and put it all in front of you, not just what you want to be mafresh, because there's halacha that you have to have mina mukaf, that you can only be mafresh from that which is in close proximity to each other. So you put everything in close proximity to each other in order to be mafresh. That's step number one. That's easy. So put it all on the counter in front to you. Step number two, you take a little bit more than 1% of the produce. So if you bought 100 oranges, you take one orange and a small part of another orange. And then you take a coin. The coin should be something that's valid currency where you has to be something that's valid currency in the country where you are. In America, you take whatever it is. You could take a quarter, you could take a nickel, something like that, something that's actually valid currency. A penny is probably not enough because it needs to be a shavar pruta. I think in Rabbi Luban's article, he writes, as of this writing, one penny is sufficient. I do not believe that's the case anymore, although Rabbi Luban has a long footnote where he goes through all of the calculations based on the price of silver and the current value, but I think we assume it's a couple of pennies now, but a nickel is safe, or a dime is for sure safe. So you take a coin, it's got to be valid currency. It cannot be invalid currency. If it's invalid currency, then you can't be poda meiser sheni on invalid currency, and one of the things we're going to be doing is being poda. So that would be a major problem. That's what Shechter always likes to point out in terms of Dina de Malchus Adina, that Dina Malchus Adina has a nafkamina in terms of Maestros, because Malchus has the right to mint currency. So if you're not going to say Dina de Malchus Adina in Eretz Yisrael, you can say, I pass like the round, there's no Dina de Malchus Adina in Eretz Yisrael. What you're saying is that the Israeli government has no right to mint currency. And if they have no right to make currency, then you can't be Poda Maestro Sheni on that currency. So if you're really a diehard anti-Zionist and you really hold that there's no Din Malchus Adina and that the Israeli government is a pirate government that's stealing the land from us or whatever, whatever the hashkafa might be, so you just got to be very careful about how in the world are you going to be poda your Maaser Sheni. But anyway, so you take a coin that's valid currency that's worth more than a pruta. You do not say a bracha, because this step number 4 he has is what not to say a bracha, because there is a possibility, even though it's a remote possibility, that Shumas Maisos were already taken from it. I mean, you don't know for sure that no one was Mafra Shumas Maisos along the way. Someone might have thought of the idea to be Mezake the Rabbim and take Shumas Maisos. So you don't know for sure that it wasn't. So we do not recite a bracha. Step number 5 is not really a step, just rule number 5. Truma Maestro should not be taken on Shabbos Yantiv, right? This should be done in advance of Shabbos Yantiv. And then, number 6, he writes, it should be noted that while reciting this formula, neither the produce nor the separated portion should be moved, because the formula refers to designated locations. Meaning, what you're going to say when you designate things is that which is on the north side over here, that which is over here, that which is over there. So don't be moving things around, because then it takes away. Then it takes away from the from what you're actually saying. And then you say the following basic text. The text goes like this: the amount in the northernmost part of the separated portion, which is greater than 1% of the total amount of the produce, should be Truma Gedola. The remaining part of the separated portion, plus an additional 9% on the northernmost part side of the produce, should be Maaser Rishon. Meaning, that which is greater than 1%, because remember we said you take 1% plus, so that which is greater than 1% is going to be your Truma Gedola. Chita Achas, Poteres is Kalakri, right? But the rest of that 1%, plus the another 9%, because you got to take 10% from Maaser Rishon, should all be Maaser Rishon. Now, the part of the separated portion that was previously designated Maaser Rishon should now be Trumas Maaser. Right? Why did you do that? Why did you make it that it was 1% plus a Mashahu, and then initially you say that Mashahu is Truma Gedola, and then you say, 9% more plus the 1% become Maaser Rishon. Why not just only take a Mashu and leave the 10% to be Maaser Rishon? No, because you want the Truma to be separated. Now, Truma is Truma Gedola, but Truma is also Trumas Maaser. And Trumas Maaser has a specific number. Trumas Maaser is supposed to be 1%. It's 1/100. So while the extra beyond the 1% becomes Truma Gedola, that 1% is going to become your Trumas Maaser. So therefore, you say the remaining part of the separated portion, which is that 1%, plus an additional 9% on the northernmost side of the produce, will become Maaser Rishon. Then the part of the separated portion that was previously designated Maaser Rishon should become my Trumas Maaser. Then 10% of the remaining produce in the southern side, meaning you try to make sure you don't double dip. So that which you've made Maaser Rishon, you don't want to make Maaser Sheni. So you say that which is on the southern side should be Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani, depending on the year that the produce was grown. Right, in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year it would be Maaser Sheni, in the third and sixth year it would be Maaser Ani. And then if the 10% on the southern side is Maaser Sheni, I want to redeem it by transferring its kedusha, calculated at its value plus 25% to the coin. Meaning, you have to be mosif chomesh. So you take the kedusha of that 10% of that maaser sheni, and you're poda it onto a coin by being mosif chomesh and being poda it onto a coin. If the produce is net or avai, it should be redeemed by transferring its kedusha calculated at its value plus 25% of the coin, the same din as Maaser Sheni. And then you take the separated produce, the part that was more than 1%, and the coin, and you throw it out. You discard it. You wrap it up, and it has kedusha, so you can't like totally destroy it. You wrap it up, and you discard it. Now, what's the point of all of that? Wait a second. How did I fulfill everything over here? The Levi never got his Maaser Rishon. So the answer is, you had a mitzvah's hafrasha of Maaser Rishon in order to take away the status of Tevel. But no Levi can say that they're entitled to the Maaser Rishon, right? No Levi can say that they're entitled to that Maaser Rishon, and therefore you're allowed to eat it. There's no Isser for a Zar to eat Maaser Rishon. There's an Isser for a Zar to eat Truma. It has Kedushas Truma. That you're not allowed to eat, and no one's allowed to eat it Betuma. A Kohen wouldn't be allowed to eat it either. So that's why we discard the Truma, right? But the Maaser Rishon portion of it, you're allowed to eat. Now, to be poda the Maaser Sheni, as long as it's more than a Shava Pruta's worth of Maaser Sheni, you could be poda it on your own coin. You don't need any special coins, nothing fancy, a nickel, a dime, whatever. Just poda it on that, and if you're willing to spend that extra dime in order to buy produce from Eretz Yisrael, that's all it costs. It's not a very complicated procedure, and it's kedai to do such a mitzvah, right? How often do Americans get to do a mitzvah like this? So it seems like a very worthwhile thing to do. Now, where it gets tricky is if you buy one orange. So if you buy one orange, then it's much harder, because then your Maaser Sheni is going to be less than a pruta's worth. And when you have less than a pruta worth of Maaser Sheni, the halacha is that you cannot be poda it onto a coin unless the coin that you're being poda it onto already has a pruta worth of Maaser Sheni on that coin. Meaning, if let's say I have a dime and a pruta is let's say 2 cents, so if 2 cents of Maaser Sheni has already been redeemed onto that coin, I can then, you know, add pachas mishav pruta, pachas mishav pruta, whenever I want, I can add more to it. But if there's zero Maaser Sheni on that coin at all, then I'm not allowed to be poda Maaser Sheni on such a coin. And thus the need in Eretz Yisrael, when people are poda small amounts of Maaser Sheni, for what they call a pruta chamura. A pruta chamura. Pruta chamura means a pruta that has a coin that already has a shava pruta worth of kedusha on it, usually a couple of shava prutas just to be safe in case of price fluctuations, a couple of shava prutas worth of kedusha on it, so that whenever I have less than a pruta's worth of Maaser Sheni, I can be poded onto that coin without worrying about it. In America, that doesn't happen so much, because in America, when you're buying, you know, usually a reasonable amount. It's not like you can stop at a stand somewhere on the side of the road and pick up an orange, or like you go to a restaurant and you order a soup and you find out that the parsley is Israeli parsley. So it's like the Maaser Sheni in the parsley in your soup is very, very minimal, right? It's obviously less than a Shavar Pruta. Most of the time when it comes up in America, it's like with under a Hashkacha, you know, like the OU or the Starkey, the CRC or whatever, they have to give Hashkacha. So usually it's massive amounts and you don't really need a pruta chamura, but every once in a while, like an individual consumer, Rabbi David Cohn from the CRC wrote an article about his search for a pruta chamura and how to find a pruta chamura in America. The CRC wanted to have a pruta chamura that people could rely on. I think I'm going to give the Temen Halachas here today on pruta chamura, but let me first take the questions about this. Is the suffix enough to count as demai or vadai tevel, meaning when you get produce from Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah, meaning when you buy it from the supermarket, is there a chance that it's it, meaning you said there's a suffix, is that enough of a suffix?
Yes, probably is enough of a no. Demai is that rov ameyaretz amas from him. Demai assumes that rov it is taken care of. I think over here it's not a rov, right? It's a totally. I mean, right? It's luchara tevel, but it's not a vaday enough to say a bracha on it. Right? By demai, we assume that rov ameyaretz, all ameyaretz take off truma, and rov take off maestros as well. But over here, we're assuming that if it doesn't have ashkacha, and the chances are, overwhelming chances are, nobody's taking trumas and maestros from it. Noam asks, is there an issue for the Israeli company to sell the Tevel internationally? Is there any obligation to take Meister? Is there an issue of Lifneiva? Probably, yeah. I mean, probably they should be taking Trumas and Maestros if they're going to be selling it to Jews all over the world, right? So you would imagine that would be a violation. What about fruits from Chutzlaretz, which are flown to Yisrael? No, there's no chiyuv. If it's a mitzvah to Yibaretz, so only that which grows in Eretz Yisrael. And Ezra asks, why are you allowed to use a nickel or a dime if the fruit is worth much more? Why don't I need the actual value? Oh, so that's a very good question. The halach is that hektish shava mana, shechil el shava pruta, the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia tells us, is mechula, that it works, b'di'eved. Same with Maaser Sheni, that if you take even though you're not supposed to, if you take a shava mana and you're mechal it on a shava pruta, that it does work. But bizman hazeh, the Rambam paskins, bizman hazeh, since you're not going to use it anyway, so you could even do it l'chachila. Meaning, the reason why you're not supposed to do it is because you're taking away from what it was really meant to be used for. But nowadays, you're not going to use it for that anyway. So therefore, it's going to work even l'chadchila. So that's why we do that. When you do have a pruta chamura, though, every once in a while, when enough, pachos mishav prutas have been added on to your pruta chamura, every once in a while you have to empty the pruta chamura from its kedusha. Right? You have to be, take all of the value of that pruta chamura and be poded on all, not all the value, everything except for a shavar pruta's worth or two shavar pruta's worth, a safe shavar pruta's worth, and be poded on something else. Ephraim, why don't we have to give to a kohen? Aren't kohani chazak allowed to eat truma derabbanan? No, they can't eat truma. They're all tamein. So there's nothing they could do with it anyway. Everyone's tamei mason. So we don't have to give to a kohen. So that's why we throw it out. That's why we do the same with challah, right? By hafrashas challah, we destroy it. By challah, the mitzvah is really supposed to burn it, right? Rather than to just throw it out. But throwing it out would, we definitely don't give it to kohen. Yoni, do we assume all kohanim in Eretz Yisrael are tamei mason as well? I believe so. Yeah, I think so. I think all kohanim we assume are tamei mason. You know, they, in some way or another, they touched the cherev hareu kuchalal or something. I don't know. At some point along the way, I think so. Okay, so that's it about Trumas HaMaisros. Bez Hashem on Wednesday and Thursday, we got to rally up the troops to make sure that we have a kavadika showing for our guest Magide Shir, Bez Hashem, and we'll learn a lot from Rabbi Gersten and Rabbi Schreier, respectively, Bez Hashem. Okay, have a great day, everyone.